This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, I want to tell you a strange story. We're going to be reading out of Galatians chapter 6. A good friend of mine, a believer, was correcting another follower of Jesus, but did it in a very, let's put it this way, not a very nice way. And I thought it was very demeaning how they did it. So I got frustrated and went to the person who was demeaning the other follower of Jesus. And in my frustration, I started demeaning him for demeaning that person. Yes, so that's what we're going to be talking about in Galatians chapter 6. Years and years and years ago, one of my kids needed some teeth work done. And we didn't have the funds to get the procedure done, but it needed to be done. Then someone from the church that we used to attend 20 years ago, out of the blue, they didn't. We weren't announcing. We have dental bills that we can't pay. Nobody knew. But out of the blue, someone came and said, "The Lord revealed to me in prayer time to come to you guys. And my husband and I, do you guys have any bills that you can't pay?" And literally within a day, so it was like, Friday we got the dentist estimate, and then that Sunday, out of the blue, someone came to us, is there something that you need to pay but you can't pay? And boy, it was like an answer to the Lord. Amen? And so I don't know, have you ever been a recipient of someone providing some practical help, emotional help, or spiritual help? Just raise your hand. I'm raising my hands. Amen. That's good. One time, my friend Jay Stewart, he pastors a church in North Carolina, but at the time he was the residential director at Southeastern. And I remember I was going through a challenging time in my life, and he didn't know that, but he looked at me and he said, "Mari, do we need to chat?" And his question startled me. And I said, "Yes." And in that chat, he began to really challenge me with my walk with Jesus. And then he said this, "I'm willing to walk with you on this path." I'll never forget that. We are lifelong friends to this day. There are other people in my life, I'll mention their names, like Chuck Benham. He rebuked me. And I was 19 years old. He rebuked me for doing something wrong, and I had the audacity to laugh in his face and just brush it off. But he loved me and stayed with me till I was able to get back on the right path with Jesus. People like Rick Bussey, Glenn Walker. And then sadly this week, a good friend of mine, Dave Wergo, passed away. He was the campus pastor with Navigators. He was here when I showed up in 93. He accepted me like a lost long cousin. And even in our long journey together, we were basically co-workers on the campus at Florida State. He challenged me. Challenged me to love Jesus more. He challenged me to read his word and to memorize his word. Dave was really good at scripture memorization. There's a guy named Tim Jones who challenged me to die to self on campus, and he did it in love. My National Kaiapa director, Dennis Gaylor, Scott Martin. My wife, Robin, has challenged me in my journey with Jesus. My children have. All of my elders. And specifically, I remember one instance where I really wanted to give up as a pastor of this church. And Dr. Heidi said some words that really impacted my life. I felt like I was not living up to the standard of being a pastor, and I felt demoralized in my journey with Jesus. And Dr. Heidi said the right words at the right time, Spirit-led, and it really and all the elders walked with me during these tough times. And I've been lost in my journey with Jesus many times. I've gotten lost. So we're coming up to Galatians chapter 6. We're on the proverbial, the last 100 yards. I've been watching the NCAA track meet, and it's pretty, I love watching track, college level or above. And so we're on that last straightaway. And so we are in Galatians chapter 6. And there'll be today and then two more weeks of Galatians, but we'll probably pick up in April because we're fast approaching Easter time. So Galatians chapter 6, if you have your Bible, says this in NIV, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. The NLT, which I like a little bit better, says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. So you remember my first story about I did not humbly correct that person who was not doing the right thing with the other person. And then it says this, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. If you remember, the Galatians church is trying to add to the equation of what salvation, how to want to be saved. They're trying to add circumcision to the equation. And Paul is saying, don't go back. Don't add anything to the cross. And then throughout all five chapters, now the sixth chapter, he's trying to help this church, the Galatians church, that has, it's lost. It's gone off its path. They didn't have a GPS, and the Spirit is convicting them as a church. And Paul, through his letter to the church, is trying to get them to get back in synchronization with the Spirit. And so this passage is giving us a snapshot of what the Spirit, a Spirit-led body of Christ, should look like. So by reading about this church, we are going to extrapolate and see how it fits with us in our church. And so we're going to concentrate on one little phrase. It's in verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. The Galatian church has lost its way. They're in a mess. And Paul pens these words to show that the Spirit-led church shares each other's burdens. There's practical help that the church can do, like putting up someone's fence or helping them with their plumbing or something like that. Then there's spiritual restoration. And that's the stories I was telling you of my friends who spiritually restored me. They cared enough. They cared enough to take interest in my life. And they were fulfilling the law of Christ. And by sharing each other's burdens and cared enough to confront me, care enough to walk with me, care enough to encourage me. And so if we're truly going to serve, as Paul is trying to say to the church, if you're truly going to serve one another, as we read in chapter 5 a few weeks earlier, we're going to have to follow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And then we're going to have to walk along members who are lost and bring them back to spiritual rightness, or what I'd like to call spiritual wholeness. That is part of being a Spirit-led church. And I will tell you, it's one of the benefits of being part of a smaller church. And big churches and small churches can do this. Small churches could fall prey and not do this. And a big church, can do this. So it's not about the size that determines whether this happens. But when people know who you are and recognize, like, I haven't seen you in a few weeks, I haven't seen you in a month. Typically in a small church, somebody will send a text or some sort of communication. How have you been? What's going on? And all of us are capable, and we're going to learn this, that all of us are capable of getting lost. We get lost. There have been times, and you know the stories, I've shared it many times, where Robin and I have not been in sync. We've not been synchronized. There's been seasons of agitation, and we were getting on each other's nerves to the point where we were not in sync. It's like a tire that's been flattened, and you try to ride that car, and it'll bounce, and it'll create what? If you don't fix that tire, it'll create worse problems to the car. And there are times where I've publicly shared that I needed Jesus to help me, and that we needed Jesus to help us. And, we've received prayer, and the Lord has helped us. But thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you, church, that you are willing to stand with me and carry the burden that we were carrying. And maybe you've had burdens as well, and I pray that the Lord has helped you, but also brought people to you. So there is that practical help of maybe somebody needs a fence to be put up, but there's also spiritual restoration. This church in Galatia, if they're truly going to serve one another, as I said, they're going to have to follow the Spirit. They're going to have to walk alongside members who are lost and bring them back to spiritual rightness or spiritual wholeness. The body of Christ, his church, ought to be ready and prepare to lovingly respond to a brother or sister who falls or walks into sin. I have a friend of mine I'm going to share about his life. His name is Joe Holloway. He's a firefighter. But there was a time when my son Micah was he was a firefighter, and he had to be ready at the moment. If that bell rang or that alarm went off at his station, that he had to be ready at the moment to go and be a blessing and to help someone who is in deep need. In the church, we kind of need the same thing. And that's why we need to be spiritually aware and be spiritually humble. I remember, and Adam's message was so spot on last week. I remember that Robin and I went to eat when Tallahassee Mall was a mall, and we were sitting, and then we saw this couple that we knew, and they were at the dinner table at the restaurant, and we noticed they did not even talk to each other the whole night. You could just tell they were just mad at each other, right? And we were aware of that, and so we, as a young couple, madly in love with each other, we thought, that will never be us. So I hate to tell you that it's happened a few times. But if you notice that, and the Spirit is like, and you're being led by the Spirit, you may come up to someone and say, hey, how's it going? How's the marriage? How's the marriage? How are the kids? And just allow the Holy Spirit to use you to just maybe allow that person to say, hey, I need help. Can you pray for us? So the church has to be ready, like a fireman is ready. When the alarm, the Holy Spirit alarm says, hey, something doesn't feel right with that person or that relationship. And then you ask the Lord to help you. Now, we're going to go through what that looks like. So we need to be ready to be and prepared to lovingly respond to a brother or sister who has fallen or walks into sin. And even though we're discussing the Galatians church, I think it's a message for you and me for 2024 Mosaic Church. And so the church, Mosaic Church, the church that are led by the Holy Spirit, are in the restoration business. Right up the street, there's a body shop that we used once. I think Natalie used it once, and she recommended it. And we went up there. And that business, that body shop, is in the business of restoring cars that have been wrecked. Right? They got in an accident. It's all wrecked. And so that you take the car to that business. And the same thing happens here. If you get caught in a wreck, your life is a wreck, your marriage is a wreck, the Holy Spirit would draw you to his church, and it's our job to be ready to help, to bring restoration, not to point the accident, that's pretty obvious, but to bring restoration. But there's a cost, isn't it? Have you ever been to a body shop and they walk around? It's like, well, that's $1,000. Oh, that's $5,000. And, you know, the airbag went off or forget it, you know. So next, you know, it's like, well, what they're saying, there's a cost to restoration. And that cost is for us, if we find ourselves, is humbling ourselves, saying, yes, I need help, I need to be restored, and I need you to help me. Now, there's a lot of humility that is involved in the restoration process, the spiritual restoration process. I think of our friends at Teen Challenge. You know, they show up to the Teen Challenge ministry pretty messed up. And one of it is not the most difficult thing, besides the addiction of needing the drugs, it's the pill that they have to swallow of saying, I need help. I need help. I cannot do this by myself. And then the help that they're getting at a Teen Challenge is not just detoxing, but allowing them to see the bigger need, that they need Jesus. And then that's another step of humility that these residents have to take, is say, I need Jesus. Not only do I need a detox, but bigger than that, what's more important than that is I need Jesus. So the cost of restoration is that we need to humble ourselves. And so one of the reasons I share stories about things like my wife and I are not in sync, or I had an anger problem, or, you know, I rebuked someone in an unspiritual manner, is that I want to hopefully set an example that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, I'm in a wreck, I need restoration. Because pride will keep you from saying that. And so we'd like to keep pride at bay, keep it away from here, because pride will never allow us to be restored. It won't. And so that's one of the reasons I want to, as a pastor, lead by example, not out of my perfection, but out of my need for Jesus, because I'm not perfect. And so thank you. If you recognize that and realize that and still love me, thank you, because I think that's the spirit of Christ in a church. Amen. So our job is to restore people. And we are agents of the Holy Spirit to help people find their way back to the Father through Jesus, who washes away our sins. It says this, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, chapter 6, verse 1, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back to the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So how does one fall into temptation? Well, I kind of alluded to my example. The reason I shared it was a bad example. And Adam preached on it beautifully last week. Typically, the falling in temptation is in the form of pride, and you would say, I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never do that is a precursor to falling into temptation. I would never do that. Pride is a precursor falling to the same lost path of the person you're trying to restore someone. When I in the flesh corrected that brother, I was basically saying, I wouldn't do that while I'm actually doing it. And I recognized it immediately. It's like, wow, I just walked into sin, correcting someone who was walking into sin. And so that's why we have to be prepared to say, God, help me to walk in humility, as the Bible says. We should do this gently and humbly, help that person back to the right path. Pride also keeps us from stooping too low to help someone. I don't have time to help them. Our country loves to hear the horror stories of others, partly because we like that I'm not as messed up as those people. You know, back in the day, there used to be a Jerry Springer show. You guys are probably too young to remember Jerry Springer. But it was a hit show because it was like the worst of humanity. And somehow our country got a kick out of it, watching people's lives. It's like watching wrecks. And that's a sign of pride, because you're kind of looking down at them. At least we're not like that. At least I know who my baby's father is. All those things that as a church, we have to keep that at bay. Or sometimes we say they got what they deserve. I've fallen prey to that. You know, someone who you know might be doing something wrong and they got what they deserve. We have to be careful. Luke 18 is a powerful passage. It says this, verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Thank you, God. I'm not like those people. Those cheaters, those sinners, those adulterers. And I'm certainly not like that tax collector who is next to me. When we have a better than you or them people, those people attitude, it stifles or chokes the spirit from bearing one another's burdens. Years and years and years ago, actually almost 17 years ago, on a side note, it's going to be amazing. So September, so in 5 months, something like that, we'll have been in this building for 10 years. Isn't that crazy? And our church in August will turn 17 years old. That's amazing. I can't believe that time has flown by. And so we have to be careful that we want to continue to walk in the Spirit, but we're not choking or stifling the Spirit because we're not bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, let me read it again, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens is the way of Christ. Years ago, we had a guest speaker and he had this poster board and he had a saying, something similar to this. A disciple hears what the rabbi says, does what the rabbi says, and then follows and does what the rabbi does. And our rabbi is Jesus, amen? And we follow Jesus. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, let's move on. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Have you ever been around a trash talker? Yeah? It's easier to think that someone is something, that one is something, when in fact he or she is not that something, than to really be something, right? I remember one time as a little kid, I used to act like I used to ride motorcycles. And I'd be in elementary school, you know, I'd be trying to be cool and try to act like, yeah, you know, try to impress my friends. And then I went, and so I was just talked about, I was just giving the impression, I was setting up the narrative that I knew how to ride motorcycles. And then one day a friend of mine invited me to go ride motorcycles. And I go, oh no, you know. And so I ruined his bike, actually. I knew how to keep balance, and I just never shifted gears, and I burned his gears. So forgive me, friend. But that's trash talking. It's giving an impression that's something you're not. So that's important. The Bible's telling us don't do that. So I don't want to be saying that we are a spirit-led church when we're not bearing one another's burdens. That's giving a false pretense, false advertisement, setting up a wrong narrative. And so I would like for us, and I think we are a spirit-led church, but we're going to have to live up to the advertisement saying that. And part of living up to that is bearing one another's burdens. Yes, we raise our hands. Some of us jump. Some of us kneel. Some of us pray in different languages. But other part of being a spirit-led church is bearing one another's burdens. There was a friend, but he was not a friend when I first was introduced to him. I got his application because he was going to be an intern. And I kind of read his application. And then Robin says, did you read his application? I said, no. It's like, this guy calls himself a hero. I'm like, he calls himself, who calls himself a hero, right? Well, he actually didn't say, I'm calling myself a hero, because my friends call me hero. And I'm like, whew, this one's going to be a tough guy, candidate when he comes to town. And he came to town, but guess what? He was not trash talking. Truly, he was a hero. His name is Joe Holloway. He's now a campus pastor up in Clemson University. And Joe was a paramedic fireman. And he was sharing stories after stories and how he had to save someone's life and he had to go to this situation and he went into a burning a building and, you know, those kind of stories. So he was not trash talking. He truly was doing those things that he posted on the paper. And so if we're going to be, Paul is challenging the Galatians church, if we're going to be a spirit-led church, part of that is making sure we're not trash talking, we're not setting false narratives, but that we're following the Spirit by bearing one another's burdens. I've read other applications that they said they were all this and that, but guess what? They weren't all that. They were giving a false narrative. So, by the way, just so you know, I'm really good trash talking at golf, all right? So I figured there's two battles, the trash talking battle and the golf battle. So at least I'll be one win, one loss. But that's just for fun. But what we never want to do is be a false advertiser. Let's just act like you know how to ride a motorcycle when you don't. Acting like we are a spirit-led church when we're not. Let's be a spirit-led church. Amen. Self-deception is fatal to bearing one another's burdens. Why? Because you become an expert in pointing out the speck in someone else's eye when not recognizing that we have a log in our own eye. Matthew 7:3. When you are self-deceived, you are not aware of your shortcomings, you become really good at pointing out the specks in people's eyes and not so good at recognizing the log in our own eyes. And so the best antidote to self-deception is confession. C.S. Lewis puts it this way: if anyone would like to acquire humility, I think, tell him the first step. And the first step is to realize that one is proud. And it's a big step, too. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. These are great words. And so the best antidote to self-deception is confession. And confession that I need Christ. I need him every day. There's not a day, and I just want you to look me in the eyeballs for a second, and that's what my professor used to say, slap his hand. Look me in the eyeballs. Probably because it was a 1 o'clock class after lunch. I need Jesus every day. Yes, I accepted him into my life when I was 21 years of age. But there's not a day that I haven't needed him in my life. Not a day, not an hour, not a minute that I don't need him. And so I'm confessing that I need him. I'm confessing that I would be lost without him. I am confessing that I am in his family. I'm part of his family. I've been adopted into his family. I'm co-heirs with him, but I still need him every day in my life. So Psalms 139 is a good way to start the day and end the day. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." Point out anything. So I would pray sometimes, "Lord, shine your light in the dark crevices of my heart." And the Lord will answer you. And sometimes he'll answer you by people. A few months ago, or maybe about a year ago, I was asking some friends to help me to bring down my motorcycle down from my truck. And it's scary. It's a 500-pound motorcycle on this little short ramp. And it's scary. And we're bringing it down. And someone named Ross was helping me. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And I shared this story a few weeks ago. And as I was bringing down, I don't recall barking at Ross. Okay? Were you there, Micah? Okay. I don't recall. In my mind, I was like, hey, brother, can you be careful? Can you just hold the bike and maybe balance it a little bit better than it is right now? And I didn't, that's what I heard in my head. Ross never said a thing. Took it like a champ. But Robin was there. And she said, you were rude. And I'm like, moi? How can this be? And she goes, "You were rude." And I didn't believe her. I was not convinced by Robin telling me that. However, I still wanted to make things right. So I call Ross. And Ross is my witness. You can verify the story. I called him and I asked him about it. And he confirmed Robin's version. And so I'm thinking, how can Ross and Robin be wrong? And so, but it took that moment, sadly, because I was self-deceived, to heed what the Spirit was saying. So all of us, especially me, I need to learn how to walk in humility. And when I walk in humility, I will not be deceived. And I will be more attentive to bearing one another's burdens. So what are we to do? How do we practically carry one another's burdens? First of all, the thing is, all of us have been enlisted. We're all, if you're part of the body of Christ, we're all enlisted to help each other. But we need to do this very carefully. The Bible tells us, it says, when we do this, the Bible's clear, it's when one is in transgression. That's a fancy word for a chapter right before, Galatians chapter 5, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in that sort of life, in Galatians chapter 5, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so these are some telltale signs that someone is lost. But how should we do it? How should we bear one another's burdens? And the Bible is very, very clear, a spirit of gentleness and humility. Not like the Pharisees. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like them. I would never do that. But a spirit of gentleness and humility. And humility is saying, you know what? If it were not the grace of God, there I would go. And the second thing is, how should we do it? I believe we should do it privately and discreetly for the glory of God. A true spirit-led church is in the restoration business, marked by love. A love that is gentle, humble, gracious, yet strong, courageous, and with conviction. And I pray that Mosaic Church, we will be a spirit-led church. Amen? We need each other. So I'm glad that you're here. I believe that God is speaking to us who are here, and maybe some of you who are watching online. But it's not, Lord, I hope someone else was listening. It's, Lord, help me to listen. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. And maybe Patrick and Joanne could come up. And just say, Lord, help me to be a spirit-led person. Help us to be a spirit-led church, to care for one another. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us never to be false advertised church when we tell people we're a spirit-filled, spirit-led church. Lord, help us to walk in humility. So thank you, God, for your goodness. Every head bowed, eye closed. I'm just going to ask you, would you be willing to submit yourself to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and say, Pastor Murray, I want to walk in humility, and I want to be ready to carry burdens for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Yes, me too. Lord, help me to do it in a way that brings you honor and glory. Not Mosaic honor and glory, but you. Thank you, Jesus. We need you every day. Help us to walk in humility and be willing to easily confess our sins one to another. In Jesus' name.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.